This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Next on Plains FM, we have Movie Talk, a program for all things cinema-esque, for the discerning film and video junkie.
Welcome again to Movie Talk. Today we'll be looking at women with a passion for shearing sheep in She Shears and Seven Strangers in a Rundown Hotel in Bad Times at the El Royale. We'll also have news on the Show Me Shorts Film Festival, which starts in Christchurch tomorrow.
Timekeepers are ready. Go!
Good shearing requires two: balance, grace, rhythm.
Wendell's main interests are cooking and sewing, so she'll make some lucky shearer a jolly good wife.
And the only lady shearer that has ever shorn in a championship.
Now this will be worth watching.
She Shears is a fascinating documentary about five New Zealand women on their way to the World Sheep Shearing Championships in Masterton. Carolyn Brown's been off to the Academy Cinemas at the Colombo shopping mall to see this absorbing film. Carolyn, I found that all of the women displayed strong wills and competitiveness. What did you think of She Shears?
I really liked it. I wasn't sure I was going to enjoy a film about shearing. I'm not really a farmer at all. But I really, the humanness comes through really well. It's about the story of these women. And it's five and a half women, really. Well, it's six women, because there's Anne-Marie, who doesn't come into it until later on in the film, and she's Pagan's student, who is another woman in the film.
That's right, yes.
And she has her own time in the spotlight as well. And it's like, why am I? Yeah. So it's about six women from various backgrounds. One's actually a dairy farmer who just likes to shear sheep or wants to shear sheep. And then there's others who are senior shearers and wool handlers and everything. And the film does build on that really nicely. You get the feeling of how they're feeling when they're going into the competition, and there's really nice play between archival footage and footage that they've taken as well of them shearing. And I just, it's an amazing history.
Yeah.
Given they compete with men, there's no separation at all.
I mean, it's you wouldn't think there were that many. Main point here is at these sheep shearing contests that they have in Masterton each year. That's been going on since 1961. And that's and that is televised worldwide, would you
believe?
Yeah,
I'm sure they cover it on Country Calendar. And this is different from a Country Calendar TV program. You can't just watch it on TV. It's not just been made for TV. No. It's an actual proper biography film.
It's
kind of like the chicken one last year.
Oh, yes.
And others
I love that one.
That
one was good fun. That's the one it reminds me of most.
Yes, yeah.
But then again, they are quite different in a way, what they get up to, what they do.
It is. There's not so much humour in this one.
No.
But it is real life, and I think it's a really good slice of what New Zealand is like.
Yeah. These are amazing. Women, you've got, I imagine, she'd be the oldest one. That's Jill Angus Burney, and she's actually a High Court barrister.
Yep, so
that's her main court job, but she does keep shearing on the side.
And when she started, I can't remember the actual statistics, but there was hardly any other females at all. So she broke the mold, her and other women as well, got accepted into the gangs.
Mm.
And now, there's lots.
Yeah, well, there used to be about 1 in 5,000 was a woman.
Yeah.
But now it's up to about 1 in 40 shearers as a woman.
That's amazing. Pretty amazing, because it's not an easy job.
Well,
bending over for 9 hours a day over a sheep.
But who wants to shear a sheep anyway?
Well, I thought it was really interesting. The sheep performed well in this film. They really did.
I got the feeling they've done it before.
But they were quite docile. Like, they were talking about if you get a sheep that kicks and stuff. But they didn't get any sheep that kicked during the actual footage. So it was quite funny. It was like, they picked out the docile ones.
So you got Jill there, the High Court barrister. Yep. Then there was Emily Welch.
Yeah.
And she also, she's so busy doing so many things.
She runs a business,
She's got a business.
And
she's
family.
Got three children. She works as a contractor for shearing, other people working for her, going out shearing and all this sort of thing.
And she's a world record holder for shearing hams.
Yes,
That's not a spoiler alert.
Yeah, and then Pagan and then Pagan comes on the scene. And, I mean, there's only about a handful of women
really
at this whole contest. That's fascinating, too. It's not as though there's a women's section in the competition.
No, it's open shearing,
apart from the men, the women have got to go in there and battle it out with the men.
And they're immediately disadvantaged. Yeah, they do, which means that there's more to shearing the sheep than just brute strength, because you do have to have a lot of other upper body strength to shear.
Oh, you're saying the women have got the sheep on their side?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe they're sheep whisperers. I don't know. Or maybe it's about skill, because that's the other thing I learned about it, was that it's not just how fast you can shear a sheep. It's about, I'm an expert now, it's about the point system and everything as well, like how well you've shorn it, the number of nicks and stuff, and you get points.
Yeah, well, you get the feeling, well, they just about all say it, that they love doing this.
Yes, yeah.
They actually love it. And then just about all of them did start this when they were much younger.
Yes, yes.
And most of them are farm girls in one way or another.
So they
have seen the sheep shearing on their farm and had a go themselves at an early age. In their teens at some stage, and then they loved that and have continued doing it
for the rest of
their lives.
Yeah, or they come from a shearing family.
But yes.
Pagan is amazing. She is such a strong woman. She had a car accident when she was younger. And
oh, gosh,
I just want to give her a big hug. She's just awesome.
How she's managed to get it all back to, because, I mean, she hurt her spine in that.
Yeah,
and
well, don't give
things.
It all away.
Okay, I won't tell you what else was the matter with it.
But also kudos to the director. This is his first time, Jack Nicholl.
Mm-hmm.
It's his first film. He wrote the screenplay for it, and he's the director. And he's done really well.
Yes, I think so too.
Yeah. First-class film. And it's also been it's produced by Misconception Films, and they produced The Baker Upperers. They started off in 2015. They have a mission of telling stories of women.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's
and
a
strong
that
woman.
Was written, directed by women.
Yeah.
With women
well,
and,
no.
Yeah, all that. And here we've got that again.
Yes.
Yeah. And, I mean, to Baker Upperers as a good comedy, let's say, that's one of the best films of the year so far as I'm concerned.
It could be.
Well, the best New Zealand. Certainly
yes,
the best
New Zealand film
is
up there, But they did that, and they've got a whole... I went to their website, and they've got a whole other... about four or five other films in production. And it's like, I want to see those.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll have to see those too.
Yep.
Okay, well, thank you, Carolyn.
Thanks.
That was Carolyn Brown with her views on She-Shears, and I'm Hans Petrovic on Movie Talk on Plains FM 96.9. I'd like to thank the sponsor of the show, the Harcourt's Grenadier Accommodation Centre, which is now located at 98 Moorhouse Avenue. If you're looking for a place to live, check out the Harcourt's Accommodation Centre website, www.assetmanagers.co.nz. That address again, www.assetmanagers.co.nz. With me now on the phone is Gina Della Barker, the director of the Show Me Shorts Film Festival, which starts tomorrow at the Alice Cinemas. Gina, each of the daily screenings this year has a different theme to it. Could you explain this to us?
Yeah, of course. So there are 50 short films in the program this year, and we've divided those into 7 themed sessions. So when people go along, they can see about 7 or 8 films around a certain theme. So there's a lot of variety of types: animation, live action, drama, comedy. But the themes kind of loosely tie them together. So the themes this year are battling your demons. There's a Korean focus.
Uh-huh.
There's beat of my own drum, late night frights, the sampler. There's My Generation for children and families, and there's What Binds Us.
Something like Late Night Frights, that's on Friday night here at 8:30
at
the Alice's. That one seemed
that
to caught my attention.
Yeah, it's probably relatively self-explanatory, a bit of spooky and creepy and slightly weird films in that section.
So you can do that in a, say, in a film more less than 20 minutes long and do that quite well there, can you?
Absolutely. I mean, it's quite a skill to be able to do that in sort of 10 minutes or so. But, yeah, it can be done. There's some great ones that really gave us a fright in that section. So,
oh, wow. I think that's one I'd like to get to. I think I'll have a go at getting to that. Yeah. And then I notice also you've got one on Sunday, on at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, Korean Focus. Now, I assume those are films by overseas filmmakers, by Korean filmmakers, are they?
That's right, yeah. There is one film in the program by a Korean New Zealander called Delivery in the What Binds Us section, but the films in the Korean Focus section are all from South Korean filmmakers. I was lucky enough to be invited to a short film festival there as a judge last year, and I was able to see a lot of South Korean films, and I was really impressed at the skill, and I thought that it would be interesting to bring a collection of films from there to New Zealand to give us a chance to watch those and kind of compare their style and story type to our own. So I think that will be pretty interesting for people. And I know there are quite a lot of people from Korea that live in Christchurch as well. So maybe some of the Korean community would like to come out and see some films from their homeland
certainly.
As well.
Yeah, and you usually do each year include some overseas films. You got other ones as well popping up?
Yeah, there's quite a lot of great French animation in the My Generation section for children and family. There's quite a lot of good animation schools in France. And, so there's some brilliant films about birds or diggers or mice, and there's one about a dragon. So there's quite a variety. There's also some live action in that section of the program, but
of
my sort of favourite kind of accessible and fun films in that section.
Well, they'd have to have a certain amount of talent to be able to put animated movies together. Are these short films, wherever they come from, the local ones, they all sort of young, new people into filmmaking that are making these, or are there some professionals in there also? How does it work?
There's a variety. Yeah, so some of the films are new filmmakers, and that's where we're watching short films can be a great way to discover kind of new talents.
Yes.
For example, the team that made the film that won our Best Film Award, my friend Michael Jones, are quite new filmmakers, so this is kind of the beginning of the journey for them. But then there are also some more experienced filmmakers as well, and some quite experienced actors in some of the films, like Robin Malcolm is in two of the films. She's in a romantic drama called Charmer, as well as a sort of a buddy movie called 21 Points, which is about a guy who has an imaginary friend as an adult who's like a super inappropriate robot. That one's really fun. There's a couple of stars from Game of Thrones in some of the films, the overseas ones from the UK, and Billy Piper from Doctor Who is in one of the films from that part of the world as well. So I think there are some more experienced directors and filmmakers.
Uh-huh. And what about local filmmakers, Christchurch ones?
Ah, yes. There are a few Southland filmmakers and some from Christchurch as well. One of the films in the sampler section is called Repugnant, and it's made by Kyan Crumdyke, and he's a Cantabrian from Christchurch. He studied down your way as well, and his film is so funny. It's about a... I don't know if I'm giving it away by saying it's about a gay dog.
Oh, I've heard of this
silly.
One, yeah.
Yeah, Repugnant. It's really funny. It's been so popular in the sampler selection, so I really recommend people go check that one out. It's one of my favourites.
Yeah. Which evening, which films would that be with? What theme?
That one, so the sampler selection, which is playing on Wednesday the 24th of October, at 6:30 p.m.
Uh-huh.
And also, Saturday the 20th of October at 8:30.
At 8:30,
so that one's playing twice.
Yes.
Because we thought people would particularly like that session.
Yeah.
So most of the other sessions is only one screening of.
Yeah. Okay. We're running out of time now, unfortunately. But one more thing is, where can people, where's the best place for people to get hold of a program so that they can choose which one to go to?
Our pink Show Me Shorts brochures should be available at the Alice and also at cafes all around town. You can also see our program at the Show Me Shorts website, which is showmeshorts.co.nz. There's some great reviews and other information up at flicks.co.nz as well. They always have great coverage of, and they have some recommendations around the different sessions and which ones they like and which ones are suitable, depending on what kind of films you like.
Yeah. So that's another good place to look. Or they could just go to Alice's and ask there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
To book tickets, that's where they go, is to the Alice website.
Yeah.
I do recommend people book in advance because we've had a lot of sold-out sessions so far at the festival.
Wonderful.
So I'd hate for people to miss out. They should try and book their tickets in advance.
Okay, well, all the best. Gina, I know you're travelling all over the place. You've got this all over the country, so this will keep you busy for a few weeks, I imagine. All the best.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Good. That was Gina Della Barca with news on the Show Me Shorts Film Festival, which starts at the Alice Cinema tomorrow. And I'm Hans Petrovic on Movie Talk on Plains FM 96.9.
First time at the El Royale?
You have the option to stay in either California or Nevada.
I always wanted to stay in the honeymoon suite, even though I'm not currently on my honeymoon.
What are you doing out here?
I got a job singing in Reno tomorrow. Don't pay nothing, but singing.
This is not a place for a priest, Father. You shouldn't be here.
In Bad Times at the El Royale, a collection of colourful characters, each with their own secrets, meet up at an old hotel where things collide violently. Mary Gibson's been off to Hoyts Riccarton to see this multi-level inventive drama. Mary, Bad Times at the El Royale reminded me of some Quentin Tarantino films. Did you also find that?
Oh, absolutely. First few minutes in, I thought to myself, this is like The Hateful Eight.
Yeah, that's right.
Just within minutes, you know, I thought to myself, you know, this is totally like a Quentin Tarantino movie, you know, with the killing right at the beginning, you know, you are just hyped. You're completely wired. It's a really interesting movie, this. The characters, similarly to Tarantino, the way that he shoots his films and the way that the characters evolve and then there's a backstory behind them is really, really interesting.
Yeah.
And then how they're not connected, they're seven strangers, but then how the interconnectivity works through the process of the movie is really interesting as well.
Yes.
And how one character engages with the other, you know, you start thinking, where's this going to go? What's going to happen? But it's really, it just keeps evolving and evolving and evolving.
Yeah,
and the plot line keeps thickening and developing further and further and further. And you can't help but watch it, even though in parts it is terribly violent, but you're
in the sort of Tarantino way, isn't it?
Yeah,
because in this one too, they come on as sort of surprise things. That's what makes you jump. There's two events I'm thinking of, and they happen so suddenly, so unexpectedly. Yeah, boom.
Yeah,
and then somebody's knocked over or dead or something.
I mean, the shotgun that gets two in one, the shotgun shot that gets two in one, that in itself is really pretty incredible. And then the roulette wheel sequence where he's spinning the roulette wheel, you know, that again is another one that's really quite violent. But such an interesting cast of characters, you know, when you see who's playing which role. You know, you've got Jeff Bridges as Doc Kelly / Daniel Flynn, the supposed priest. You've got Dakota Fanning. Dakota Johnson, should I say, as she's sort of a bit of a femme fatale rescuing her sister. Chris Hemsworth that shows up.
Yeah, it was really amazing.
This
is such a totally different part for him.
So different. Yeah. And wasn't he great? You know, the way that he plays this sort of enigmatic cult leader, but then just kind of like dancing around.
Yeah.
And his character is, you know, so entirely different.
Oh, yeah. I don't think I've ever seen him without a shirt before.
Thor. Oh, he's been in a few things, but, you know, just seeing him, John Hamm, who was much more used to seeing on television in his role as the sort of the vacuum cleaner salesman / FBI agent, another quirky character. The singer, I've not seen her in anything before. What was her name? Cynthia
Erivo.
I've not seen her in anything.
No, but she can sing. I'd say she's more a singer than an actress, actually.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
She was fantastic.
Yeah,
So she's a sort of, coloured soul singer. And she does about four or five songs in this film. And I was quite happy to listen to her.
Yeah, she was really good. You know, the music is great in it, isn't it? Just the different pieces, the suspenseful pieces, the bits where she sings. Yeah, very, very interesting. And then the other character who was really interesting and has his story evolved was the concierge / bellboy / I don't know, everything else. Almost manager, played by Lewis Pullman. And I've not really seen him in anything else either, but he was great. And just as his kind of... as his story evolved, that became then quite central, especially to the end of it. It was just incredible.
I mean, to me, the whole thing, I found it it's a long film. It's about 140 minutes long.
Mm.
And I found it usually annoys me in films when I get that feeling, where is this film going?
Mm,
what is this film really all about? And you get this in this film all the way through, that where is this film going? Who is this who's just come in now? You know, and this goes on and on. But I mean, but you do have to see this as one gigantic jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah, because even though, as you say, these characters come in and you think, where is this going? It doesn't actually annoy you like in some other movies.
No.
You just go, oh, wow.
Yeah, you're too fascinated by what's going to happen next sort of thing.
And it doesn't feel long. It feels the appropriate length, doesn't it?
Well, they got 240 minutes of stuff in it, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because some other movies, you know, you kind of, if they're over 2 hours long, you're like, yawn, when is this going to end? But not this.
No.
I think it's quite engaging.
I found this surprisingly good. And like I said, it was like a jigsaw puzzle. I could happily see this film again, but just to make sure that I've got all those pieces of the puzzle put together correctly. Next time I'd say, aha, I know who that is. I know where this fits in and all this sort of thing, which the first time I just didn't have a clue.
Well, isn't it interesting? Because in some ways, some of the connections are slightly absurd, but they do all link in, don't they?
Yeah.
And you aren't left wondering what the connections are. You are left wondering what the outcome will be, and it's quite good too. So that's great. Yeah.
Good fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That was Mary Gibson with her views on Bad Times at the El Royale. And I'm Hans Petrovic on Plains FM 96.9, saying goodbye until midday next Wednesday.